sometimes controversial, always politically incorrect, and pro-life without exception, without compromise, and without apology. It's the Pro-Life America Podcast with your hosts, Sarah Waits, and the president of Life Dynamics, Mark Crutcher.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Lots of interesting things, Sarah, since last week.
You can say that again.
Ruthless Bader Ginsburg has died.
And the other side is melting down. They are losing their minds. And because they're millennials, they decide to not only just lose their minds, but to share it with the whole world on social media.
Right.
So we have a whole bunch of different clips here. This is just a small taste of what's been going on with the other side.
So I'm sure most of you heard RBG is left us. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little scared. I feel like she was one of the only things standing between us and fascism.
So apparently Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the guardian against fascism.
That's the only thing, the only bulwark against it.
Right. This one woman in the entire United States.
Let me tell you something, I'm going to bet you this nitwit whose clip you just played couldn't define fascism for you, couldn't tell you anything about the history of fascism,
no.
Where it started, how it started, what it's done. She doesn't know the word fascism or what it means. I promise you that's true.
Well, what I've found is the people today who are screaming the most about fascism are the ones who are acting like fascists.
Who are fascists.
Who are shutting down the conversation, who are threatening people and coercing them to act a certain way and resorting to violence.
Right.
Fascism.
Right.
Oh, but okay. And here is one reminiscent of our favorite meme from 2016.
I have not felt this amount of sinking despair since November of 2016. I was violently, physically ill the day after the election, and I was told I was overreacting. Clearly I wasn't. I'm honestly shaken to the core with fear for my rights.
What rights is she fearing, I'm wondering?
I'm going to give you a little hint. Yeah. It rhymes with smsmortion.
Yeah, right.
You know, I saw video after video where these people were acting like Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the sole defender
of
all
the whole
rights.
World together.
She's the only Supreme Court justice. Right. She's the only one who's holding this together. Do they not realize that there are other Supreme Court justices out there? That she wasn't there when Roe was decided.
No, but what they do recognize is that in the history of the Supreme Court, starting with the seven males who made abortion illegal that were on the Supreme Court, the seven men in black robes, she is the most radically pro-abortion, godless degenerate that they could count on. She was the one that they knew.
But let's not discount that the other Supreme Court justices have voted just like she has on a number of bills regarding abortion.
But they always knew she would go to the mat. She was a baby killer par excellence, and they knew that. And that's why they're so upset.
I saw a lot of people who saying they're scared, you know, they're done with 2020.
Right.
This one, though, is the one that everyone's talking about, that everybody has probably seen. And
but again, it's just one of many like this.
Oh, yeah. But it's by far the best.
Holy f***, you guys! I'm driving your car, but I just got a notification that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died! Could this year get any f***ing worse? Ruth, you just had to make it to 2021!
How'd you like to be married to this woman? I'm seriously hoping that she doesn't have children.
I
hope she doesn't even have a cat or a dog.
I don't understand having that much of a meltdown, but if you're going to do it, why record it?
The one who had to post this.
Distracted driving, number one. This is for TikTok. She recorded herself having this meltdown, knowing full well that friends, family will see this, probably potential employers, and this just screams having a breakdown.
You don't
please
want this person
send
around.
Help.
This person does not need to be out running loose in society.
And she made the one mistake of saying, could it get any worse? That is the rule in the universe that you never say.
Yeah, because it can.
Because it can. I'm only thinking
she
probably had an accident 2 seconds later.
Right, right.
But I showed you this one video that was another one of these reactions that you just thought was so bizarre. And I'll put the link to it so you can actually see the video in it, because this is one of the ones that you kind of wish you could see it, but oh my goodness, it's crazy. Here we go.
5, 6, 7, 8, rest in peace, peace to America. Rest in peace to our rights. Rest in peace to all who are not straights and male and white. Rest in peace to America. Rest in peace to our rights.
She had this crazy little choreography dance, and she's starting to lose it by the end.
She lost it a long time ago. These people are nuts.
But this is not uncommon of what we see.
No. This is a common occurrence. I mean, this is the way they are.
You say that the left is a mental disorder.
Right.
Well, here is a video. This is just a pro-choice person who's very upset about all of us pro-lifers out there.
Right.
And this just goes to show you that it boils down to the pro-choice issue.
Right.
Off to people that are pro-life. I hate you. Why can't women have abortions? I'm just on the pro-life side, driving down the road, having a mental breakdown. And I just want to say, all you people are you're so stupid. Ugh. Besides, I could feel pain before I was born as a baby. I was born and I can feel pain. I wish I wasn't born. Stop bringing these kids into horrible homes just because you're pro-birth. You're stupid. And I wish I had been aborted. Oh my God.
You know, what do you say?
Well, it's clear that woman has had an abortion.
Obviously. She's working off guilt.
Yeah. I mean, the way she's talking about abortions, and of course, she clearly doesn't value her own life when she says that she wished that she had been aborted. She's in a lot of pain, and it's all centered around the pro-life sign. If you have not had an abortion, that's not triggering for you.
No.
That would trigger a whole different response.
We've talked about many times. When you go out and you talk to people and tell them that you're pro-life, mm-hmm. the ones who engage you in a legitimate conversation or debate about it are one thing. Mm-hmm. But there'll be a bunch of them that go like this, that just go berserk.
Yeah.
100% of the time, they've got a personal abortion experience. They're either a female that's had one, or they're a male that's forced a woman to have one, or paid for one. But they have a personal
connection
to abortion.
Yeah.
And when they hear you say abortion is murder,
they're not hearing abortion's murder. They're hearing,
you're a murderer.
I'm a murderer, or my friend is a murderer, or my loved one is a murderer.
I killed my own baby.
Yeah.
And deep down inside, I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. I've talked to hundreds of post-aborted women over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman who sits on one of those abortionist table and puts her feet in the stirrups knows for a fact, no matter what she says,
mm-hmm.
she knows she's murdering her own baby.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't process that too well.
No, and you have said, too, that women who have abortions tend to know what their due date was supposed to be. Like, they remember that.
Yeah, they'll remember their due date. They'll remember the birthday of their baby for the rest of their life. It's amazing. And when we were doing the malpractice cases, that was one of the things that we picked up on, is how often these women, when we would ask them how far along they were, they'd say, oh, I was 8 weeks or 10 weeks or 18 weeks or whatever. My due date was X.
Mm-hmm.
They knew.
Yeah.
Why would you know your due date if you didn't know that you were killing your baby?
Or why is it something that you would continue to hold on to in your memories?
Right.
You know, you might remember, I was around X weeks along, but to actually remember the date.
Have calculated it.
And calculated that.
Right.
That is something that's very significant to them, because you know on that day they're sitting there thinking, this would have been the day that my baby would have been born.
Well, that's one of the things that became important to us when we were doing these malpractice cases, because mm-hmm. we would see things like what we called anniversary reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And women would do things on the anniversary of either their abortion or the anniversary of their due date. They would be self-destructive. They would get involved in self-destructive behavior. And when they did, we would always try to track it back to either the due date of the baby or the day she had the abortion. And
what were some of the behaviors that you saw, some of the things that they were doing?
Oh, cutting was a big one.
Mm-hmm.
I know this sounds kind of weird, but we were contacted by attorneys. You remember the Lorena Bobbitt situation?
I think most people remember the Lorena Bobbitt situation.
She cut off
case.
Her husband's penis.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Her attorneys had seen something that I had written mm-hmm. about anniversary reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And he did his own study, found out she had had an abortion.
Yeah.
And the day she cut off her husband's penis was like the third anniversary or something of that abortion.
Well, that definitely falls into bizarre behavior.
Right. And she and they were going to use that as a potential defense for her, saying she was forced to have that abortion. She did not want to have the abortion. He forced her to have it.
I think I remember hearing about that, yeah.
And the media just totally ignored
the
anniversary action thing. We couldn't get any press on that.
Because in their minds, abortion is supposed to have no side effects, no consequences. It's no big deal, right?
But we used to see all the time women getting involved in self-destructive behavior. Sometimes they don't even realize it. We saw an incredible number of instances, for example, of women having one car wrecks. And we would ask some of these women, did you get involved in any kind of self-destructive behavior? Well, not really. No, I didn't. Something's weird. I had 4 one-car wrecks over the next 4 years. They were almost always around the anniversary of either the abortion or the due date of the baby. So anniversary reactions were very common, and we saw a lot of that. We had a client who, when we asked about self-destructive behavior, she got real quiet, and of course we knew when she got quiet that there was a problem.
She was ashamed of something. She's hiding something.
She had wound up in the emergency room. She had 17 needles underneath her skin of her abdomen.
Oh my goodness.
And they had to do surgery to get all these needles out.
Oh man.
So we would see things like that, but one car wrecks, cutting, sticking needles under your abdomen. And I thought it was very significant that she stuck them under her abdomen.
Yeah.
Instead of under an arm or something like
just
that.
Just anywhere else. Because typically when you see people cutting, it's going to be on their arms.
Yeah, well, she wound up in the emergency room. So,
you know,
and we saw a lot of things like that.
And you know, the thing that's so infuriating about this is that the organizations that are supposed to be concerned with mental health and pro-woman completely bury this under the rug while women are out there suffering. And more women are going to be added to the list because they refuse to recognize this.
You can't say anything negative in these people's minds about abortion. You can't say anything negative about it. I don't care if you have situations where the woman got raped at the abortion clinic and then the rapist went ahead and did the abortion on her and killed her. So she got raped and killed at the abortion clinic. You cannot say anything negative about that situation. And I'll tell you something else. We saw this time and time and time again. If women start coming forward and talking about negative reaction or negative experiences they had at an abortion clinic, the abortion industry, the abortion lobby will come out and defend the abortionist. And they are almost always men, almost always.
What's like when Finkel?
Finkel
was coming under fire for assaulting his patients.
Raping his patients, right.
And they were, this is some sort of pro-life propaganda,
right?
All these women who were pro-choice enough to go get abortions.
Got together
with the pro-lifers to concoct this thing about him doing this. And his clinic workers who testified were also apparently pro-life plants.
So what it was is the district attorney of Maricopa County got together with the pro-life movement,
the
employees at the abortion clinic, and all these women who were pro-choice enough to have an abortion to conspire against this hapless male abortionist who hadn't done anything wrong. That was literally the argument that these people were making. And I got on a debate with the
disgusting
the state president of NOW in Arizona, and I was bringing up all this, and she hung up. We were on a radio program together, and we were both there by phone. And she
out of all the arguments you could use, that has to be the most ridiculous sounding one ever.
And she had made these statements about what a champion for women's rights Brian Finkel was. And by the way, for people who don't know, we've covered this before. Brian Finkel was eventually accused by 106 women of sexual abuse of them while they were at his abortion clinic.
By no means is that the limit. That's just the women who came forward.
That's just the ones who came forward. He was convicted. He got 34 and a half years. As we speak, he's sitting in the Arizona State Penitentiary in Florence, Arizona. That's where he is right now. It's a bizarre thing, and maybe we'll have a show about it. One. The reason I know what jail he's in is because I get letters.
He sends you letters. It's really weird.
I've saved them all. I've got one here just a few weeks ago from him. It's really bizarre, as much as we went back and forth over the years. But anyway, he's losing it. His mind is obviously slipping away. He draws these little pictures on the letters that he sends.
Yeah, but anyway, they defended him up until the time he was found guilty. And suddenly...
Well, he's the anomaly.
He's the anomaly. We had no idea any of this was going on.
Yeah, this doesn't happen. And we've got a whole report that we did on the number of women who've been raped by the abortionist.
And you can read that report at lifedynamics.com/rape. So we really recommend you check that out. And on that page as well is a link to a video where some of Finkel's own employees are talking about the stuff that he would do. And I'll warn you, it's graphic, right, what they're saying.
This is his own employees who, by the way, were still so pro-choice that they wouldn't even talk with us. Mm-hmm. We had a hard time getting them to talk to us because they know who we are. Mm-hmm. But even they would come out and say, yeah, we were real concerned about this. Now, by the way, they allowed it to go on for years.
Yes.
They knew about it for years and they allowed it to go on. Mm-hmm. But eventually one of them broke. And when she broke, the rest of them came out and said, yeah, we were really concerned about that, how he sexually assaulted these girls.
Well, in these reports, you would see there were clinic workers who not just knew what was going on, but they would set them up. It's like the people who helped Harvey Weinstein, who would lure a girl to a room and then disappear. The clinic workers did the same thing.
Right, exactly. They even said, and you can hear it on those tapes that, mm-hmm, that you're talking about there, they even said that they could tell when they'd look out in the waiting room in the morning when they'd getting everybody gathered up,
which women he would go after,
which ones he would abuse or assault, and what kind he liked. He liked a particular kind.
But they didn't feel incumbent enough to do anything about it.
Not to warn the girl, hey, you might want to go somewhere else or think about this or whatever. But anyway, that same crowd, mm-hmm, is going berserk over Ginsburg dying.
Yeah.
And I did a Facebook Live on this thing, and I want to make sure people understand what my position on this is. I don't understand all these pro-lifers that are now coming out here and making all these glorious statements about this woman, saying, oh, well, she was we disagreed with her on the abortion issue, but she was a champion for women and equality, and she was this and she was that. And they're almost canonizing her at this point.
There's a way you can recognize somebody's role in American history without sanctifying them, without making them some sort of saint.
They're deifying this woman. And many Christians and pro-lifers are going along with this. Mm-hmm. And again, I raised the question, which I brought up to you guys the other day. If this were 1945 and they broke in on the radio and said, we just got word Adolf Hitler is dead, would we now switch gears?
Be like, what?
You know what? Yeah, we disagreed with him on this Holocaust thing.
But
he did this, and he solved the German economy when he took over. The German economy was in the tank, and he solved that, and he made the trains run on time, and he did this, and he did this wonderful thing over here. And he loved.
No.
Oh, by the way, Hitler was very well known for loving animals and children.
And art.
So we need to just not pay much attention to this concentration camps. And
no, we wouldn't say that.
Why are we getting all jacked up over that?
We would never say that.
Never. This woman presided over a court, mm-hmm, that has executed so far in excess of 60 million babies. That's 10 times, mm-hmm, what Hitler did. Mm-hmm. And yet we're now going to, all of a sudden, because she died, which all of us are going to die, it doesn't take a big talent, mm-hmm, to die. We are all going to do that at some point. But because she died, now we're going to say, oh, okay, well,
it's a tragedy.
We're going to make glorious statements about her that those same people would have never said 2 weeks ago.
Well, I brought this up to you. Remember when Phyllis Schlafly died?
Yeah.
She was a big voice in the women's rights movement, talking about the balance between women's rights versus everything, right, else that was going along with it, standing up for life, standing up against some of the things that, yeah, the feminists were pushing. And I don't remember when she died, all the fanfare from the left about her. No. And I, to some degree, there were a lot of conservatives who were pretty silent about it.
Right. Well, could you imagine, let's say Trump, mm-hmm, had a heart attack and died today. Mm-hmm. Would all of these people that are anti-Trumpers, mm-hmm, would they now come out and be saying, well, you know, he really was a great guy, and he was this, and he did this wonderful thing, and he did this over here, and, mm-hmm, you know, we need to ignore these bad things that he did. And no, listen, the godless left in this country would be dancing in the streets, mm-hmm, if Donald Trump dropped dead today. And you know the person they really need to be mad at? If you really want to boil it down?
Who?
They ought to be mad at ruthless Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah.
This
woman
was all...
She has had a number of health problems, and she has stayed on the Supreme, right, Court until she could no longer.
She had major health problems when Obama was president. Mm-hmm. She was in her 80s. Mm-hmm. If she was so concerned about this and made this dying wish that her replacement not be appointed by Donald Trump, you know, like some of the pro-aborts are complaining. I know AOC, mm-hmm, is complaining that he's ignoring a woman's deathbed wish. Well, he's not in the Make-A-Wish Foundation. He's the president of the United States. But if the pro-aborts want to be mad at somebody, be mad at her.
Yeah.
She hung on out of ego.
Yes.
And she hung on when she knew she had health problems. She mm-hmm. knew she was in her 80s. Mm-hmm. And she hung on. And because of that, mm-hmm. now Trump gets to a point, maybe Amy Coney Barrett.
Who knows? There's several, but there's female several, candidates.
Yeah. Several good women out there that Trump's going to get to a point. He's only getting to do this for two reasons. Because she hung on when she shouldn't have. And because he won the 2016 election.
And Ginsburg herself said that a president is elected and is supposed to fulfill his duties from day one to the very last day. His job doesn't end yep. in the few months before the election. And his job is to nominate new candidates for the Supreme Court.
Well, that's something that the Republicans need to be pointing out. Mm-hmm. You're hearing all these Democrats saying, well, we're this close to an election. We ought to let the American people make this decision and he ought to put it off. Well, wait a minute.
They did when they voted for Donald Trump.
They made this decision in 2016.
They said
and then reaffirmed it in 2018 by increasing the number of Republicans mm-hmm. in the Senate, right? Mm-hmm. So the American people have already spoken.
They said, we want you to decide
for the next 4 years.
Next 4 years, not three and a half, not three and three quarters.
Right.
4 years, the right. Supreme Court.
Right.
That's under his purview.
And I remember when Obama pushed through Obamacare. Mm-hmm. And used, I mean, Gestapo-like yeah. tactics to get mm-hmm. that thing pushed through.
And they weren't even letting Congress actually look at it and see what was in it. No,
Nasty Pelosi came out and said, hey,
we have to pass it to see what's in it.
So we can eventually see what's in it. Do what?
What?
It's unbelievable. And it was rammed through with 100% support by Democrats and not one Republican voting for it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When that happened... Mm-hmm. And Obama was challenged on, you know, you always said you wanted a bipartisan deal where this was obviously not bipartisan, not one Republican voted for it. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what they have to understand is elections have consequences. So you put me in charge and you put all these Democrats in Congress. So obviously elections have consequences. Well, do they not have consequences today? Mm-hmm. Donald Trump was elected in 2016. Mm-hmm. The increased number of Republicans in the Senate in 2018. Mm-hmm. Do those elections not have consequences? Well, here's the consequence. Yeah. The consequence is we're not going to have another godless leftist, mm-hmm. Marxist, communist like Ruth Bader Ginsburg mm-hmm. put on the Supreme Court. And again, if the left doesn't like it, they shouldn't be blaming Donald Trump. They should be blaming Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Mm-hmm. Something else that I think we need to point out here. One of the things that I have said for years, I wrote it in Firestorm back in the 80s. We talked about it throughout the whole time that we did Life Talk for almost 20 or over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And now we've been talking about it here. I've always said we've been in a cultural civil war.
Yep.
And you'll have people say, well, yeah, a lot of people think we've been in a cultural civil war.
Well, 2020 has really put that on display.
Well, one of the things that I said, though, was that this cultural civil war could turn into a shooting civil war.
Yeah.
And we're seeing evidence of that right now.
It's
the hard left, you're having United States senators saying, mm-hmm. Chuck Schumer saying, Bloomberg saying, if Donald Trump puts somebody new on the Supreme Court before the election, nothing is off the table. That means shooting's not off. And they're defending Black Lives Matter and Antifa mm-hmm. and all the violence that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And now Trump in the last day or so has got this letter sent to him with ricin poison in it. A woman's been arrested for that.
People were threatening Lindsey Graham online.
Threatening Lindsey Graham, saying they're going to kill him
yeah.
if he helps push this through. So our statement, or the statement that I've made, I won't attribute it to everybody, so y'all don't get blamed for it, that this could turn into a shooting civil war is coming true.
Sure hope not.
I also said that the closer we get to victory, mm-hmm. the more violent our enemies will become.
Well, that's, again, 2020.
That's already happening. And I've always said, even when Renee's here, we did a show about this particular issue. When she first came to work here, and you may have had the same experience when you came here, I always said, everything that's happening in this culture, if you boil it all down mm-hmm. and you start peeling away the layers of the onion, you get down to the core, it's always 100% of the time about abortion.
Abortion affects our perception everything, of life.
Of everything.
And our value of life. And that is connected to so many issues.
And notice that when Ruth Bader Ginsburg bought the farm, the first thing everybody is talking about is abortion. Mm-hmm. The left is going berserk. They're not going berserk over other issues that she might...
They're not going berserk over tax reform or immigration.
Or, you know, just
none
abortion.
None of that. It's abortion.
Right. It's all about abortion. So all of these things that we've been talking about for years, they're coming true. But I want to tell you the reason for it. It's not that I or those of us here are so much smarter than everybody else. It's that things are now happening in the general culture that the pro-life movement has been seeing for 40 years.
Yeah. And we've been saying is going on, and people look at us like we're the crazy tinfoil hat people.
Or like we're the nuts, and we got little antennas growing out of our heads or something.
Yeah.
And you are one of the crazy tinfoil hat people.
No, I'm
you
not.
You and Sheila both.
I'm not a crazy tinfoil hat person. I don't look at all the conspiracy websites.
But the fact is, all this stuff that we've been saying is coming true.
Yeah.
People are seeing it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing going on right now that the pro-life movement hasn't seen going on for almost 50 years now.
And the thing that aggravates me is when we've been talking about it, people have been dismissing us. And now suddenly that it's happening to them, they're like,
oh,
who saw this coming?
Right.
Who could have predicted this? Excuse me.
Right. We've been telling you this. And we're fixing to find out if the statement I'm about to make is true or not.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that Trump may have accomplished already in his presidency is that he's taught the Republicans how to fight.
I sure hope so.
You know, the pro-aborts and the Democrats are just vicious, godless. They'll do anything.
They fight tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Like it's a battle for the ends of the earth. And the Republicans act like it's tea time. And they're having a philosophical debate. And when it starts to get rough, they roll over.
Right. They always have. And it's like my analysis of it years ago when I wrote some article about this. It's like the Democrats treat these issues, in particular the abortion issue, like it's a brawl on a waterfront pier, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans treat it like it's a debate in smoking jackets and cigars at the country club.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And what Donald Trump has done is he's come in and he's basically showed these Republicans how you have to beat these Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, this is not a debate between people in plaid smoking jackets in a country club. This is a brawl on a waterfront bar, and he has taught them how you win those fights. And you get into them and you don't back down and you fight. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping, I mean, we've already seen one example of this. You mentioned Lindsey Graham earlier.
Yeah.
He was always one of those squishy, mushy, marshmallow-centered.
The last couple of years, he's
but since
starting
Kavanaugh,
to tough up. Yeah.
With Kavanaugh, Lindsey Graham grew up.
Mm-hmm.
He finally saw what the Democrats are about and what they're like and what kind of degenerates these people are. This proud political party has now degenerated to the point that that's what it is.
Yeah.
And he finally recognized that. He grew up, and I was proud of him in those Kavanaugh hearings when he got angry and he was pointing his fingers and saying, these used to be my colleagues over here, and pointing to the godless Democrats sitting there. I'm hoping, and we're fixing to find out, whether the rest of the Republicans learn that same lesson.
Well, and I think another lesson that we're learning, too, is something that I wrote about in our new newsletter. So if you're wanting to get that.
Right. Words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom. But that culture has a unique impact on politics. And for so long, the conservative / Republican side has ignored the role that culture and television, all those things play on politics and perception of issues. And they're starting to catch up and realize that, you know, now is the time that we actually change things.
And some of that is really sad, really dangerous.
Yeah.
I saw a thing not long ago, and it was about millennials and what that generation is like.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a perfect example is how many of my generation, and I saw this in middle school, high school, especially among a certain crowd, would wear the Che Guevara t-shirts.
Right.
You know, and they had no idea who Che Guevara was and what he actually stood for. And if you would ask them, do you stand for this, 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 and this? They're like, no. Then why are you wearing a t-shirt with Che Guevara on it?
Right.
Do you know that he did all these things over here? Yeah. Maybe you need to go back and crack open a book.
And read about what this guy did. Tortured political enemies, put them in prison for the rest of their life. Tortured men and women and children for political opposition to the communist takeover of Cuba.
Well, if you're talking about LGBT rights, go look and see what he did to
people. He hated homosexuals.
Yes.
Right. But I was talking about this situation with millennials and how culture affects what you were saying. This survey they had done of millennials, and some of it was really scary to look at, that this is the next generation of people that are going to lead this country. Something like 79% of the millennials that they interviewed said they get 100% of their news from Colbert.
Yeah.
This guy is a Jake Legg comedian. He is not a political analyst.
No.
But 79% of them say they get 100% of their political information from Stephen Colbert.
Yep.
This is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And that explains why, I can't remember the guy's name, Dice or whatever, that goes on to
Mark
these,
Dice, yeah.
Goes on to these college campuses. Some of them prestigious campuses. They had one where they went on Princeton.
Yeah.
And asking these students there simple questions mm-hmm. that you think any five-year-old could answer, and they don't know.
I think one of the scariest ones is he was asking what was the significance of Independence Day,
right.
4th of July. And so many people had no idea.
Right.
Some people thought we were celebrating independence from Mexico. I mean.
Yeah, you go online and watch those things and you think, how do these people get loose in the world? How do they live?
My question is, how in the world did they graduate high school?
And now they're going to graduate from some college.
And they're going to graduate from some college. And they don't know the basic things that, and like in the Independence Day video that he did, one of the few people to get it right was not from the U.S. They were European.
That's what he consistently finds. I was watching one the other day, and it wasn't one of his, but it was somebody else's. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Caitlin Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
And she was asking who won the American Civil War. And these people are like bewildered, totally bewildered. They didn't know who it fought in it, what it was about, who won, who lost, whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
The first person that she found who had got the right answer mm-hmm. was a Canadian. And, you know, I saw a thing years ago about Americans' lack of knowledge of their own government.
Mm-hmm.
And they had gone onto the city streets and asked these young kids simple questions about American government.
Yeah.
And got X numbers of percentage of right answers.
Mm-hmm.
They went to Japan and did the same thing, man on the street interviews with young people over there about American government, about the American government.
Not even their own government, American government.
They got a higher percentage of correct answers from those Japanese kids. Japanese kids knew more about American history and American government than American kids did.
That's scary, because then you don't understand the significance or the importance of things, now, like why our Constitution is framed the way it is.
Yeah, it's really scary. But we're out of time, so I'm going to leave on this humorous.
Yeah.
Somebody did a study about what people who claim to be Christians know about the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions was,
uh-oh.
Yeah, I know. They go up to him and say, do you claim to be a Christian? Yes, I'm born again, Bible believing, whatever they said.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, I want to ask you some simple questions regarding scripture. And one of the questions was, is the Easter Bunny mentioned in the Old Testament or the New Testament?
Oh, my goodness.
And some of these people were seriously going, you know.
They were thinking about it?
They were thinking about it. I don't know. It probably was in the Old Testament, I got to believe.
You're kidding.
The Easter Bunny, was he in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Some of them were having to think about it.
I'll take neither for 300.
it's unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, anyway, we got to go.
Yeah, anyway.
And this millennial thing, by the way, one thing I got to pass along. One of the questions they were asking was, who was the first female Supreme Court justice?
Mm-hmm.
What was the number one answer?
I'm thinking they probably thought it was Ginsburg.
No, Judge Judy.
They thought Judge Judy?
Judge Judy was the first female on the Supreme Court. Anyway, we're out of time. You got anything else?
No, we got to go. My head is hurting.
You got to figure out whether let's go pull out our Bible and see if we can find the Easter Bunny.
Find the Easter Bunny.
In the Old Testament or the New Testament.
By the way, before we leave, I do want to tell people, we are releasing a newsletter because of all the conservative censorship that's going on. We can't rely on social media and Silicon Valley to respect our rights indefinitely. If you're interested in receiving that, it's got original articles from us at Life Dynamics, including me, yours truly. If you want to go sign up for that, go to lifedynamics.com, and it'll be the first thing on the blog there. And I will actually put the link in the description. I'm going to create a more permanent page so people can sign up. But for now, we have a blog article with a form that you can fill out. You can get it either digitally or sent to you via the U.S. Postal Service in the mail, just whichever format you prefer.
And our newest one just went out day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Okay.
It went out yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it's free. Doesn't cost mm-hmm. anything.
Nope.
And we do not sell your name to other organizations.
Nope.
So
sure don't.
If you want to get it, just let us know, and we will make sure that you get it every month. And it'll have some information that we don't have here that lends itself to being in print rather than in broadcast. Anyway, that's it.
That's it.
We'll see you next Thursday. Until then, remember, Life Dynamics is not here to put up a good fight.
No, we're here to win.
Because winning is how the killing stops. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.